is America Weekend, and I'm Mike Bennett. He's a contributor here every week, naturalist and farmer Greg Quinn, who's responsible for helping to bring black currants back to the U.S. market, and in fact grows black currants on his current farm, right in the Hudson Valley of New York.
I'm Greg Quinn with this week's Notes from the Currant Farm. As I walk the woods surrounding the farm this time of year, the deep frozen winter silence of only a couple of months ago has been replaced with the deafening cacophony of an annual spring ritual. The wood frogs have thawed out from their winter state of frozen hibernation and are engaging in a breeding frenzy. For every large female, there are 15 to 20 much smaller bachelors, all fighting for the honor of being dad for the day. This all takes place in small bodies of water that will dry up and disappear in a month or two. Every year, small pools of water, which are the result of melting snow runoff and spring rains, appear in shallow depressions in woodland environments. These unique wetland habitats, called vernal pools or vernal ponds, vernal relating to spring, often go unnoticed by the casual hiker and those out for a spring stroll in the woods. But they play a crucial role in the forest ecology and the life cycle of many reptiles, amphibians, and invertebrate, as well as certain plant species. A very diverse collection of animals use these pools to lay eggs for future generations. Since these vernal pools dry up by summer each year, they can't support fish populations. Fish would readily eat the eggs and larvae of these animals, and without these seasonal pools, many species would not be able to successfully reproduce. The animals that depend on these vernal pools, such as toads, the group of mole salamanders, including the marbled, spotted, and Jefferson salamander, the endangered tiger salamander, and our noisy friends, the wood frogs, are adapted to different stages of life in the water and on dry land. Early life begins as eggs and then hatch into aquatic larvae or tadpoles. As the pool begins to dry up and gradually shrinks in size, they evolve into terrestrial dwellers, moving into the forest in search of insects and other invertebrate snacks. They also become an important part of the larger food chain that other woodland inhabitants depend on. According to one study, 85% of vernal pool amphibians return each year to breed in the same pool where they were born. On a given rainy spring night, they will begin their trek to their birthplace, crossing roads and other man-made obstacles, and ignoring other pools along the way that may be perfectly suitable for breeding. This fidelity to their ancestral pool poses a particular challenge to the population, as they put themselves in harm's way on roads, construction sites, and even lawns. The exception to this pattern is the fairy shrimp, which hatch in vernal pools from thawing eggs laid last summer and overwintered in the frozen ground. The adult fairy shrimp live only long enough to breed and lay next generation's eggs, which settle to the bottom of the pool and then dry up in the leaves and debris. The eggs go through a cycle of drying and eventually freezing, awaiting the following spring to hatch when the pool, once again, briefly fills with water. Everything in nature is connected to and dependent on something else, and every drop of water plays a crucial role in the ecology of this little planet we all call home. Even that muddy spring waterhole up in the woods. For a list of books for adults and for children about the very important vernal pools, and for a podcast of this and previous notes from the Currant Farm, go to currants.com. That's currants with an A.
I'd love to hear your comments about the show. Send me an email at mikeaw@mikebennettradio.com. That's Mike A.W., just like America Weekend, mikeaw@mikebennettradio.com. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at MikeBennett11. That's Twitter, @MikeBennett11. I'd love to hear from you. And with Greg Quinn, I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend. America
Weekend. Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict.
Officer Jones was alerted that a man in his 40s with a beard wearing a cap had just robbed a store. He then detained a man for questioning about the theft. The guy was furious and sued the officer for false arrest since he didn't wear a cap and he didn't have a beard, only a few days unshaven. Is the officer liable in this case? The final verdict after this.
The Movie Man 6-Second Review starts now.
It's fast, it's furious, it's totally bonkers, so buckle up because Furious 7 is a hell of a ride. I'm in.
6-Second Reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers, Age of Ultron. See it in theaters May 1st.
Actually, yes, he is liable. The officer really did not have probable cause to detain the man since he didn't fit the description of the suspect. And that's the final verdict.
Think green.
Harrison with you. Good news from the financial front, but curiously it comes from the green sector. Wall Street has just acknowledged that energy efficiency investments can provide up to half the greenhouse gas emissions reductions most scientists say are needed between now and the year 2050. That to avert the worst effects of climate change. The new administration joined other governments in the group of 8 industrial democracies, agreeing earlier this month to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions by 80% by 2050. Another report concludes investments in more energy-productive technologies will lead to big savings for consumers and businesses to the tune of $2 trillion by 2050, and that's measured in rock-solid pre-recession dollars. Get this, the report also finds that U.S. consumers and businesses will see our energy bills cut in half by 2050 if we continue to invest greenly.
Think green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.